Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is Genesis 33, 1 through 17. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, when Leah and her children and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God had graciously given your servant." Then the maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met? Jacob answered, "To find favor with my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly, to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor. Please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I want." So he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go alongside you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are overdriven for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly, according to the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "Why should my Lord be so kind to me?" So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the place is called Succoth.
Please pray with me. God of light, we cannot do the work of remembering, releasing, reimagining, or restoring without your word. We need you like the earth needs rain and a sailboat needs wind. Grant us the clarity needed to hear your word anew. Amen. So today's scripture seems like a bit of a stretch for the end of our stewardship series. What does Jacob and Esau meeting up have to do with money? It doesn't seem like a whole lot. I could stretch it, and I could focus on how much money Jacob spent on all of the gifts that he presented, how that's some sort of metaphor for how we're supposed to approach the church or God or whatever. But I hope that one thing that you've noticed throughout this time is that each message of the stewardship series wasn't totally about money. Money is important because it's just the society that we live in. But we've also talked about remembering, releasing, reimagining. And there's a little bit about money associated with all of those things, but the primary message has been about being faithful, being grateful, being joyful. So today we're talking about restoration. What does it look like to restore? Practicing faithful stewardship heals us as individuals and helps us restore right relationships. Not just right relationships with God, but with other people. And this encounter between Jacob and Esau is an excellent example of an absolutely surprising reconciliation, followed by a literal lifetime of strife and years of estrangement. And I know this story requires a good bit of history to shed light on the complexities that we've seen here and the baggage within Esau and Jacob's relationship. I mean, they're the difficulties in their relationship, like if you think that you have family drama, the difficulties between Esau and Jacob take up 9 chapters in Genesis. And I thought about adding all of those into the reading today, but I figured you guys didn't want to be here for 2 hours. Even though it's not Super Bowl Sunday. There are a lot of characters in the Old Testament, and they're really easy to confuse. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a recap. Jacob and Esau are twin sons of Isaac, the son of Abraham, and Rebekah. And their competition with one another started even before they were born. In the womb, they wrestled, and they raced to see who would be the firstborn. Esau won that race by a heel. And even though you're not supposed to have a favorite child, I know no one here has a favorite child. I know I do not have any favorite parishioners. Everybody's equal. There was no hiding that Esau was Isaac's favorite. Esau was this burly, outdoorsy type. I've always pictured him looking a little bit like a lumberjack. He's wearing a flannel shirt and suspenders, some hiking boots, this big, scruffy red beard. Now, Jacob was the complete opposite. We could call him a bit of a mama's boy. Or maybe you've heard of indoor children. He clung to Rebecca, and she held on to him. I picture Isaac as, or I picture Jacob as somewhat of like, quite, kind of like a cross between a bookworm and a celebrity chef. You know, he looks good, super smart, can do some pretty cool things. It's obvious he could cook, by the way, because he did swindle Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of stew. But that birthright wasn't enough for Jacob or Rebecca. And they worked together to trick Isaac into giving Jacob a blessing before his death. And that blessing was meant for Esau. So yeah, if you have some family drama, know that this sort of thing happens all over the world and has been happening throughout history. When Esau finds out that Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him a blessing, Esau is livid, absolutely livid. And he swears he's gonna, like once Isaac dies, once their dad dies, he's gonna kill Jacob. And not like metaphorically. And Jacob is rightfully fearful. And he flees to be with his uncle in Haran. And there he marries Leah and Rachel. And he has lots and lots and lots of kids. So those are basically the highlights. But what's the really important thing to know here is that Jacob has been no contact with his brother Esau since he left. And after a while, Jacob has a dream that he's supposed to go back home. That's a truly frightening prospect right there. For all he knows, Esau is still stewing over all the ways Jacob disrupted his life and is still avowing vengeance. But Jacob knows he's got to face the music. He must speak to his brother. He must ask for forgiveness. So he sends messengers to his brother. Messengers tell Esau that Jacob is coming this way, and Esau responds that he'll meet Jacob halfway. They're coming. Oh, and Esau's also bringing 400 men with him. Oh. So Jacob sends out three waves of progressively more expensive gifts in an attempt to appease Esau. And when they finally see each other, Esau breaks into a sprint and runs to Jacob. And by the way, that's a very unmanly thing to do. Running was not a thing that they did. But Esau runs to Jacob and wraps his arms around him, giving him a big bear hug, tears streaming down his face. He kisses him as he weeps. Huh. Maybe Esau isn't looking for vengeance like Jacob thought. And Esau asks, "Bro, what's up with all the gifts?" And Jacob explains that he was trying to smooth things over. It was his way of apologizing. And if he's being truly honest, it was an attempt to sort of bribe Esau into forgiveness. And Esau's like, "Dude, that's not how forgiveness works. You're my brother. Besides, I've done all right. Look, I got these 400 men with me." Jacob comes up with a new reason for the gifts: gratitude. He's experienced grace. The grace of God within his brother. The gifts aren't just in gratitude for Esau's and for Esau's forgiveness, but also for God and the grace that God has given him. Jacob has been so bountifully blessed by God that he wants to share it. Esau ultimately accepts, and he offers to accompany Jacob the rest of the way home. Jacob politely declines. He's not looking for any sort of family merger. Even though there is reconciliation here, even though there is some restoration, their relationship hasn't magically transformed by this long, drawn-out encounter. After this, the only time that Jacob and Esau see each other again is at their father's funeral. So ultimately, I do see this story of Jacob and Esau as an example of stewardship. Stewardship calls for an examination of our hearts as we look into our individual and collective experiences, our fears, our desires, our passions. And how do those experiences relate with our money and one another? The life that we live with God and the life that we live with other human beings are two sides of the same coin. They affect each other in deep and profound ways. Life with God cannot be lived in isolation from others without harming both relationships. And life with other people cannot truly be lived out in isolation from God. At least, not if we're to be what the Creator intended us to be. So good stewardship practices, those good stewardship practices restore healthy relationships between people, between people in the earth and people in God. When we give out of the abundance of our blessings, lives are transformed. And the broken world starts to heal. And it's not just the lives of those on the receiving end. Because we often find that through the giving of ourselves, we are being reconciled to God as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.